Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Paulina Greer at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, a refugee and survivor of female genital mutilation shares her story. And a filmmaker bears witness to the work of UN peacekeepers in the Democratic Republic of Congo. But first, governments are being reminded of their obligation to provide health services for their citizens, including to ensure that fewer women die while giving birth. That's the message from the UN Deputy High Commissioner for Human Rights, Kate Gilmore, who this week participated in a dialogue at UN headquarters in New York on how human rights, including the right to health, are reflected in the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. I spoke to her prior to the event.
The right to health is enshrined in international law through several instruments. For us, we see health not only as the absence of disease, and not only a question of access to services, but in fact the right to be human in a manner that you have your physical and mental integrity upheld. It's very important for women and young people, for example. Just to state the obvious, pregnancy is not a disease. To be pregnant is not a matter of being ill. It's an intrinsic part of the human condition. One of the greatest challenges of the last 10 years has been to reduce rates of preventable maternal mortality. Most maternal mortality can be easily prevented, as indeed most infant mortality can, with the right services, the right policies, and the right priorities.
Your office has been speaking out about a general trend, the erosion of human rights throughout the world. What more could or should the UN be doing?
The United Nations came as the child of the horrendous experience of World War II and all that that represented. Every single person on this good earth is entitled to be treated equally in dignity and rights. And that's a founding promise of the United Nations. And we hope its membership will not stray far from that path, because the consequences for the world are very grave indeed.
What can the average person do to support human rights?
Demand your rights. Claim your rights. Rights are verbs, not nouns. They're things to be exercised. But importantly, and this was in the founding ideas behind the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, rights are not just about my rights. Rights are also about how my rights can protect and affirm your rights. If you see sexual harassment on the street or in the workplace or in Hollywood, don't remain silent. Speak up. If you notice race-based bigotry, denounce it. If you see someone in your schoolyard being treated unfairly, stand with them. And in that way, all of us can express an expectation back on our political leaders that this is what we understand to be the business of being human. It will be the way in which peace is strengthened and conflict diminished, and it can lead to a prosperity that's more inclusive, more equal, and more just.
The harmful traditional practice of female genital mutilation, FGM, considered in some communities to be a rite of passage, has propelled thousands of women and girls to flee their homes, according to the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR. Aisha is one of them. She ran from her home in Cote d'Ivoire to save her daughter from being cut. But the mother's nightmare only continued at a detention center in Libya. Now safely residing in a refugee reception center in Italy, Aisha is still kept awake at night, reflecting on the 3 months of abuse she survived in Libya to reach safety. Natalie Hutchison has her story.
So they took us to the beach in the night. They said if we're going to die, it'll be in the sea. They put us in a boat so that we would die in the sea. We were in the sea for 2 days before we were found. I cried with all my soul and body. I didn't think that I would live to see another day.
This is Aisha, a mother of five from Cote d'Ivoire, speaking from a refugee reception center in Italy. She's lived to tell the story of how she, like thousands of women, fled her home to save her daughter from the brutal practice of female genital mutilation, FGM, only to be tormented by a stark new reality. Having survived FGM at 7 years old herself, leaving her country was something Aisha felt she had to do for her daughter.
They tie your hands and feet. Without anesthetic, they cut a part of your body. There are so many children who died. So many. The law forbids it. Islam forbids it. But they do it in secret. They say our custom demands it. I couldn't save my first daughter. I didn't know. They did it behind my back. She bled. She bled a lot. And more than that, she was ill for months. They asked me to excise my second daughter. I couldn't stand it anymore. A woman has to protect her children.
Over 200 million women and girls across the world have been subjected to the practice, while around 20,000 seek asylum in the European Union from FGM practicing countries each year. The UN Refugee Agency has described the conditions in Libyan detention centers as inhumane and cruel, calling for them to be closed. After leaving Côte d'Ivoire, Aisha remembers enduring 3 months of abuse at a detention center in Libya.
They kidnapped me. They beat me. They raped me every day. They put us in a big house where we never saw the light of day. So much suffering, total suffering. They abused women, children, men. They killed so many women in front of me because they refused to be prostituted. When I think about everything that happened, I can't sleep. When I tell my story, it hurts, but it liberates me. I want to mourn the past and to start a new life with my children close to me.
Aisha and her children are safe now in a refugee reception center in Italy. They are now receiving psychological support to cope with the trauma they endured.
After seeing negative news reports about UN peacekeepers, American filmmaker Melanie Castman was inspired to share positive stories about the Blue Helmets. Her film, Until There Is Peace, documents her months embedded with peacekeepers at the UN mission in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The experience confirmed her belief that UN peacekeepers are dedicated to the goal of achieving peace and protecting civilians affected by conflict. Liz Scafidi caught up with Ms. Castman when she was at UN headquarters for a screening of the film.
Many times people think of peacekeeping as a concept. My film is a look at the individuals who are on the front line of the most dangerous areas protecting civilians. It's about human life and how, even in the worst of circumstances, people find moments of joy, moments of clarity.
You were attached to a special group of peacekeepers from Malawi, South Africa, and Tanzania. Were there many women peacekeepers in this unit?
South Africa had women working in the FIB on the front lines. Malawi had women working in staff positions in missions further away from the violence. Tanzania also had women in staff jobs.
What was one of the most difficult hurdles you had to overcome?
The conditions are very unstable. You would wake up in the morning to the call to prayer or the roosters. And if you woke up to helicopters before you heard that, you knew something bad was happening.
Did you feel frightened?
I strangely did not feel frightened. There were a couple of times we would go into a building, all of the villagers, everyone would be out, the shops would be open, people would be on the street. We'd go inside to do an interview, and we'd come outside. Every shop was closed, every door was closed, not one person on the street, which means there had been an alert that ADF was on their way to do something.
ADF?
The Allied Defense Force, one of the illegal armed groups operating in North Kivu.
Have you witnessed any attacks by them?
I was in a vehicle, did witness an attack. I spoke to villagers right after an attack.
Did you speak with many women?
I did.
Did you see a difference between their reaction and the men's reaction?
No. One of the saddest things about this area is that these massacres happen on a continuous basis, and everyone experiences this in the same way that we would if your child, brother, or your sister, or your mother were hacked to death with a machete, because that's their means. The hardest thing for me as a mother is when they come into town, they take hostages, men, women, but many times very small children, and the parents never see them again.
What impressed you the most about being there?
Each peacekeeper I met approached their job with their complete heart. They wanted to protect these people, and it was clear that they took their jobs very seriously. I also got the feeling that it's a little bit of a thankless job. It's a great sacrifice.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Paulina Greer.